Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. American Family Radio is what you're listening to. Good morning, Walker Wellman.
Good morning. Glad to be on the show.
Red Jackson.
Yes, sir. Good to be here.
Dr. Ray Pritchard joins us. How you doing, Ray?
Hey, doing good. It's golf weather here in Kansas City. I mean,
is that right?
Blue skies, and I think a high may be about 82 today. So
perfect.
Not too bad. Yeah, perfect.
Perfect. All right. Guys, I'm going to skip out on the show today. I'm driving to Kansas City,
and
let Ray take me to the best golf course in the area there.
We got a tee time at 12:15.
Okay. Well, I got to get on one of those supersonic jets then, I guess it is. A lot going on today. We appreciate you listening to AFR and for joining us on the program today. Walker, tell folks what they can do if they want to join us.
Yeah, you can visit our website, AFR.net on our website. You can also download the app, which many of you are familiar with. Download the AFR app. Lastly, we're on social media, Facebook and YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues. We're on Facebook and YouTube.
Just type in Today's Issues. That's all they got to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, wonderful. Sandy Rios will be with us at the bottom of the hour for you Sandy fans. She is Director of Governmental Affairs for AFA, and she's also host of Sandy Rios in the Morning. So we'll visit with Sandy coming up a little later in the program. Fred.
Yeah, about 24 hours ago, when we opened up the program yesterday, we talked about Democrats growing concerned with their number one candidate in the polls, that being former Vice President Joe Biden. Latest polls as of yesterday showed him still 11 points up over Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, all the rest way back. Well, then yesterday, the Monmouth University, which does regular polling as well, and their polling numbers have very bad news for Joe Biden. Basically, according to them, Elizabeth Warren and Sanders came in at 20% support, Joe Biden at 19%.
He's fading.
He is. And this presents, I think, a huge problem for the Democrats and their supporters. What are they going to do?
He's their best chance to beat Donald Trump,
if
you believe the polls.
Yes.
At least that's been the case up till now.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, his daily gaffes, maybe not daily, but weekly gaffes that are... And now, Ray, the other day, Joe Biden had to say, I'm not nuts.
You know, it's a bad sign for your candidacy when you have to say to people, I'm not nuts. That's just verifying the fact that there is a problem here. And really, Tim, I think it's closer to a gaffe a day than a gaffe a week.
I mean, you're probably right. I was being generous. What do you have for us, Fred?
Well, we're
from
quoting
the greatest hit selection.
Yeah, we're quoting from Joe Biden saying, definitely not going nuts. Cut number four.
I just spoke at Dartmouth on healthcare at the medical school. Or not, I guess I wasn't actually on the campus, but the people from the medical school were at the. I want to be clear. I'm not going nuts.
Well, there was a gaffe right there. He said he spoke.
He was trying to clean up his previous gaffes with another gaffe.
Yeah.
He needs to drop out and enjoy the rest of his life. I'm telling you, the guy is showing signs of senior moments on a regular basis, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with, as I said, if you live long enough, most all of us are going to, and you know, we misspeak today.
Yeah,
I
sure.
misspeak, but we all do. Mm-hmm. But what this is a sign of is that he's losing his mental faculties enough to be president of the United States. Okay,
yes.
He'd be a great grandpa. He can be he can be a great baseball fan. He can probably a great fishing partner. But when you got to go through the daily grind, Ray, of a campaign,
right.
leading up to the presidency, and then you got to take on President Trump one-on-one in debates.
Right. Well, number one, the older I get, the more normal these senior moments seem to me
right.
to be. I'm less bothered by them than I was a few years ago. But now he's, what, 70? Is he, what, Fred, 77?
77, yeah.
Okay, he's right up there. I mean, that's he would be the oldest person ever elected president. And I think the conundrum the Democrats are dealing with is that he is, quote, the moderate candidate in the field, which makes him probably the only person who could realistically challenge Donald Trump. But if he keeps up with these gaffes, he's not gonna win the nomination.
Yeah, he can't.
What happens?
You can't. It takes a very high stamina person to do a campaign, especially a presidential campaign. You're talking about you're on the road every day, all day, speaking multiple times a day, getting asked tough questions, and he's at these little, 100 people outside what are supposed to be laid back events. And he can't even get where he spoke at yesterday, right?
No.
So how is he going to go on the stage with Donald Trump and answer tough questions? I think it's going to be embarrassing. So, but he is the best candidate to beat Trump. But that's not meaning he's
from a name
a good
recognition
candidate.
Point of view.
The only thing that makes him a good candidate to beat Trump is that he's tied to Obama, which Democrats like Obama.
Well, but that's the big problem that you're zeroing in on for the Democratic Party now. Because if it's not Joe Biden, then you look at the bench.
Right.
And the bench is far, far left. I mean, when you start looking at Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, and now they're taking the lead in this latest poll, then Donald Trump just has to say, they're Medicare for all, free tuition for all.
You mean Joe Biden has to say that?
No, Donald Trump, if he's got standing across the stage from Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, you're saying Donald Trump would say back to her, this is what this woman supports or this man supports.
This is what you said, Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, I think she is emerging as the front runner.
Yeah.
I think we'll see if this pans out. The only ones you have right now, and we've had a few months now to have somebody make a jump, and Elizabeth Warren's the only one.
Mm-hmm.
But Biden, who's fading, okay, and then you got Elizabeth Warren, who's emerging, and then you've got Bernie Sanders, who's about maintained his same numbers. Mm. But Bernie Sanders is not electable on a national scale, and the Democrats know that. Joe Biden is not. He would be their best chance, yes, but for the reasons we just explained, he's not going to make it over the finish line. So Elizabeth Warren may be the best choice for them, even though she is a far left person. She's embraced Medicare for all and almost every left-wing cause out there. She signed up for it. But she is an age-appropriate person. She's, I think, 72. She doesn't look old, as it were. She's articulate.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe she would be their best chance they see among a field of poor choices.
I think the problem for the Democrats with Elizabeth Warren, though, is how do you gain the independents? The independents went with Donald Trump in 2016. Because they like what he has to say about the economy.
Yeah, I tell you what they're counting on, and to me, the Democrats, they're counting on the anybody but Donald Trump vote, okay? They think that's out there, and it may be. I don't know. I don't know exactly how to gauge, and maybe we won't know till Election Day. I don't, because the media is so anti-Trump, and because the polls were so wrong last time, and because polling polling is an inexact science today. It used to be better because you had landlines, and you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You have landline telephones. You call people at home and ask them who they're going to. But now it's hard to get in touch with people for polls. And then online polls, I don't trust them, So I'm just saying polling is suspect today, but there's probably a lot of people, in the Democratic Party who think we're going to get the vote that Trump got last time because it went to his benefit, but those people are tired of the Trump drama, and he's a racist and all this stuff, so we're going to vote against him because, as I say, because it's anybody but Trump. Now, I'm just guessing here. That's what the Democrats are counting on, to be able to overcome a far, far left agenda that will be promoted by the likes of Elizabeth Warren.
Here's a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Is the United States ready for a female president?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
The right person, the right candidate, the right platform.
I'd vote for Haley. What's her name?
Nikki Haley.
Nikki Haley.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd vote for her. I don't think that's a
Some people said that was a factor, not the factor, in 2016. With
no, no, she got 3 million more votes than Trump did, Hillary Clinton did.
And she was a horrible candidate.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, you know what? Regarding that, I was reading the other day that there may be an explanation for that. Not saying that Hillary Clinton didn't have, you know, 50% support in the country the last time around, and the Electoral College map is what decides the race, because we have a national election. We don't just let California and New York decide who the president is for everybody. But that President Trump and any Republican running for president would probably get more votes in California, Washington, and Oregon if they had any chance at all to win. You see what I'm saying? So on a presidential election day, if it's already a foregone conclusion who's going to win California, Washington, and Oregon, particularly California, that's the big enchilada, as it were, then there's a lot of Republicans who aren't going to go vote, because what's the point, right? So the numbers would be even further depressed when you total up the popular vote for that reason. And that was just something I read that thought if I – regurgitated that, I would sound smart. and I don't know, that's for others to determine. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Fred.
Well, Joe Biden is still in the race, and to that point, he's hired himself a preacher.
Has he
down
now?
In South Carolina. It's an African-American pastor there, and Joe Biden is hoping that that he can be sold to that constituency in South Carolina. Here's what's interesting. The pastor's name is Michael McLean. He's the longtime pastor of Liberty Hill Missionary Baptist Church. Now, McLean, in an interview with the Christian Post, had some interesting...
How do you spell his name?
It is M-C-C-L-A-I-N.
McLean. Okay, got you. Pastor okay. McLean. Okay.
Yep. He said, I'm quoting the pastor here, Joe Biden is solid, he is moral, he is sincere, and he is loyal, and he cares about all people, not just a certain segment of people. His policies are sound because he is sound, and he has a record that coincides with his soundness. Then the pastor went on to say this. He further argued that Biden's Catholicism aligns closely with how blacks in South Carolina practice their faith. Quoting the pastor here, he is talking to people who have faith in the same God that he does. They're talking about taking care of the least of these. You look out for your brother, always trying to help someone, not condemn someone, not beat someone down. End quote. Here's the thing in this story, and the reporter for the Post, I don't know, he didn't ask the question, but I would ask the question, yeah, what about the Democratic platform, though? The Democrats stand for abortion on demand. The Democrats stand for and protect every sexual deviancy there is out there. And I'm just wondering how successful this pastor can be in separating Joe Biden from what the party is fighting for.
Right.
I mean,
he can't. Look, I've had this discussion before with African-American Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Why does the African American community vote overwhelmingly Democrat? Not what? 85%, 90%, 95%? They right. will tell you, they will say, most of them will say, yeah, I'm against abortion. But the Democrats have been the champions of civil rights. Now, you can laugh if you want to, but this is what they're going to tell you.
Yeah.
And the Republicans have a represent is a party for the rich people. And so so the Democrats represent, they care about black folks, okay? So they're going to make sure that the government helps out with welfare and programs. And I'm just telling you what they're going to tell you. And so while I'm against abortion, then they'll tell you, well, so they'll come up with something like this. And I'm not saying all black folks who are Christians do this who vote Democrat, but they'll come back to you and they'll say something like, yeah, but you support Trump, and he committed, he married three times, and you call yourself a Christian? Mm-hmm. Don't talk to me about voting for Biden when you're voting for a man who's a three-time adulterer. You see how this goes?
Right.
So oftentimes when you're left with two candidates to vote for, you're left with, everybody has to tally up what their priority lists are and then vote for the best one.
Yeah.
Because you don't have 10 people you can select among.
The policies of the Democrat Party, which Biden represents, are horrendous for people with darker skin color in the blacks in urban areas, which make up some of the big cities, are majority black cities. And the policies of the Democrats, two policies. Abortion on demand has murdered millions of black babies. That's the first problem. Secondly, the economic policies of the Democrats hurts black employment. That's statistically proven. And President Trump has fought abortion and provided more job opportunities.
Yeah. But it behooves the Democrat Party to keep a lot of African Americans on government assistance.
Right.
Okay. Generational government assistance in the inner cities in particular. Now, there's a growing African-American middle class, by the way, and it's obvious if you get out and travel and see.
Right.
But it behooves the way that a lot of the Democrat votes come in is because they promise, well, not just African-American inner city folks, but other groups and other minorities, they promise them stuff, right? Because we care about you. So here's your handout, right?
Well, you look at the Democrats, they control the big cities, New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Cleveland, Baltimore, and on and on across the country. So you've got a Democrat administration in most of the big cities, and they do exactly what you said, Tim. They make unbelievable promises. And if you are living in destitution in some of these inner city areas, that's who you're going to listen to. And I think the irony of this is that if the Democrats did nothing, I mean, did zero, they're still going to get, let's say, baseline 85% of the black vote, right? So if Mr. Trump could get, if he could get the remaining 15%, he's going to cruise on into reelection because the vast majority of the black vote is going to go Democrat, at least as things stand today, no matter, even if they don't do anything else.
Yeah. But back to the original story here. So Joe Biden's hired a pastor to, what is he going to do?
Well, he is going to promote Joe Biden to the faith community there in South Carolina.
And you know, the reasons that you said someone, a black voter might give you, those are all built on Democrat talking points.
Yes, sure.
And they're not true necessarily in reality. You know, the fact that the Democrats have been the party of civil rights, that's not true. The Democrats were historically the party of racism. They championed Jim Crow laws, things like
back in the
50s and 60s. So, but the Democrats, my point is that they've won the talking points and the propaganda. They've won that battle in convincing black voters that they're the party, you know, to vote for.
Yeah.
It's interesting, the pastor's comments saying that Joe Biden's Catholicism works well with the philosophy that is preached in the black church, according to this pastor. And that being that the government has a responsibility. Well, what they're saying is these churches believe the government has the responsibility to take care of people. which is, you know, we talk about socialism. That's really what that endorses.
You know, on a related issue, I, for the life of me, don't understand how a pro-abortion politician can remain in good standing in the Catholic Church. Mm. Because the Catholic Church teaches that abortion is a... is it what is their ranking of sin?
Mortal and venial, basically. A venial sin being a smaller one, and a mortal sin is can cost you your soul.
Isn't abortion a mortal sin?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
yes.
you have presidential candidate like Joe Biden who is for abortion, and he calls himself a faithful Catholic. Mm-hmm. Now, if the Catholic Church doesn't kick him out, then why do you call it a mortal sin? Because it isn't something like adultery where you commit an act of sin of passion and you ask forgiveness and you repent and you get forgiven. This is an ongoing policy position
right. That
these people hold, these Catholics hold who are in high places of power, like Nancy Pelosi, for example.
Well, you know, Tim, the point you're making is a point that true conservative Catholics have been making for years. That the harshest criticism of what the church is doing doesn't come from outside the church. It comes from inside the church, from Catholics who are true, historically true to the Catholic tradition. And they're saying to their own hierarchy, if you say you believe this, why don't you enforce it?
Yeah.
It's the people at the top who do not want to follow through and be consistent.
Why you think?
Well, can you imagine if they started disciplining? I mean, mm-hmm. you can't stop with Joe Biden, right? You got to go to Nancy Pelosi,
yep.
And you got to go to all the others. And who wants to do that?
Well, then quit saying. Well, I wouldn't say quit saying. I don't want to sound like I'm a smart aleck here. I'm just saying it really hurts the Catholic Church to say abortion is a mortal sin, but Joe Biden can be for abortion on demand and still receive communion. Or still go.
It is a contradictory position.
Because he's living in sin, right?
Yeah.
If you're promoting the death of unborn babies every day, that's a constant.
Could you imagine if you quote, excommunicated or even disciplined in any way, all the Catholic Democrat politicians who support abortion?
Well, then make them decide. Make them say, yes, I'm going to follow God and the teachings of the church, or I'm not, or I reject God and the teachings of the church.
That's why some people get frustrated when the Pope talks about how climate change is a really bad thing and all these Democrat talking points when the Pope goes along with those. But here we have this blatant disregard of Catholic teaching.
Right.
And there's nothing being said about it.
Yeah. Well, they will say something about it. The Pope will teach against abortion, and the Catholic bishops will here in the U.S. too, but they don't do anything to their constituents. They're not constituents. They're
members.
They're members.
Parishioners.
Parishioners who chant. Can you imagine a Catholic politician who is for slavery?
Mm.
And that's their... I champion slavery.
That wouldn't last long.
Okay, how long do you think it would take to have them excommunicated?
About 24 hours.
Okay, there
less.
You go.
Yeah.
There you go. So it makes it anyway, I lose a lot of respect for the Catholic leaders in America in particular when they allow people to stay in the church who promote abortion on demand. Mm-hmm. And I know that many conservative Catholics, as you said, Ray, share the same position.
Yeah. Agree with you 100%.
Yeah. Yep. We're going to take a break right here. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We will be back in a couple of minutes with more. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, we'll talk with Eric Horner from Operation Tank Full of Love.
It's free gas as a way of saying thank you to those who serve. We take a team of volunteers and basically take over the truck stop for an entire day just down the street from Fort Campbell. and we offer them some free gas and just the love of Christ.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, one of the days that we're in Israel on our March tour, we will be going to Bethlehem. Now, when we go to Bethlehem, we'll be visiting what's called the Church of the Nativity. And the Church of the Nativity is over the place where Jesus Christ was born. And so we're going to be seeing that very place and experiencing the place where Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. And then later, we'll be seeing the shepherd's fields later that same day. So it's going to be a wonderful time. That's just one day in our trip to Israel. For more information on this March 12th through the 20th trip to the Holy Land, go to our website, twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. YouTube has a problem with the Ten Commandments. That story next.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of champions for Christ at liberty.edu/starnes.
YouTube has a problem with the Ten Commandments, blocking a series of videos produced by Prager University, instructing young people what they should know about thou shalt nots. Senator Ted Cruz raised the issue of censorship during a recent congressional hearing. A representative for Google, YouTube's parent company, said with a straight face it was because the Ten Commandments mentioned murder, as in thou shalt not murder. Prager University is a hugely popular video project that instructs young people on moral and political issues. Their videos have been downloaded billions of times, making them a big target for big tech. Hundreds of their videos have been banned, leading to a federal lawsuit. Opening arguments are set for today before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. At the heart of the issue is a fundamental freedom, the freedom of speech. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issue is the name of the program. We thank you for listening to AFR. I'm Tim with Walker Fred, and now Sandy Rios joins us. Sandy is the Director of Governmental Affairs for American Family Association, and she's the host of Sandy Rios in the Morning. Heard weekdays at 7 a.m. Central Time here on AFR, and Sandy joins us most Tuesdays. Hi, Sandy.
Good morning, Tim. You sound like a announcer guy this
really?
Morning. Yeah, you sound good.
I'm chipper. I'm happy. Uh-huh. And now, next in sports, Fred Jackson.
I want to hear this.
Yeah, Fred will report on hockey, and hockey.
That's right.
That's
yeah.
for Fred, that's the sports report.
Yeah.
Fred, you had a poll you wanted to ask Sandy about, right?
Yeah, the Mammoth poll that came out yesterday, Sandy, certainly bucks the trend of the polls that we've seen so far amongst the Democrat candidates for president. And in this one, for the first time, I think, Joe Biden falls behind both Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. Not by much, but he has consistently, I look at Real Clear Politics almost every day, and they do a summary of the polls. Biden's been up 11, 12, 15 points, but this one does a reversal. I don't know whether this is just a quirk, or is this an indication, do you think, of some things starting to happen amongst Democratic supporters?
I actually think it's probably a combination of both, Fred. Because, first of all, common sense would tell you, because of Joe Biden's performance on the campaign trail and all the mistakes he's been making that his support would have slipped. Okay, so that's not hard to believe. But this is such a precipitous fall that I find myself skeptical. So I saw a couple of things in this poll that are red flags to me. And that is that this is a survey of only less than 300 Democratic voters. So that, first of all, that's an awfully small sample. Secondly, it says voters. It doesn't say likely voters.
Right.
So that's always a red flag, because likely voters is the most accurate poll. It's the most accurate demographic for polls. And the third thing that makes me suspicious is that this poll has been approved by the DNC for deciding which candidates make the primary debate. So I am thinking that the DNC has a vested interest, because they probably think Joe Biden cannot win now based on his performance. And they don't manufacture these things. They want to create the appearance that, gee, Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders now have the momentum and not Joe Biden. So I don't really trust the poll. I'm sure I'm not the only person that feels that way, but those are the reasons I don't.
DNC has turned against Joe Biden?
Well, I don't have an insider in the DNC, but it would appear, since Monmouth poll is the one they've chosen to sort of hang their hat on for percentages and who gets what and who's allowed and in the debates, I think that they... I'm just assuming, Fred, because I have a dark mind, they may have something to do with this.
Well, also, Sandy, your suspicion here is not unfounded historically, because if we recall back in 2016, the DNC did their part in making sure that Hillary Clinton was the chosen candidate to make it to the general election.
They manipulated the race?
Well, they...
With the superdelegates and all
yeah,
that?
Yeah, well, you have the superdelegates. You have Donna Brazile giving the questions over to Hillary Clinton at the CNN town hall with the other Democrat candidates.
Yeah, they railroaded Bernie.
Yeah, so the Bernie Sanders campaign was very frustrated at how it was handled. So it wouldn't surprise me if they were doing the same thing here.
So the DNC, Sandy, are you thinking their trust, their hope is now in Elizabeth Warren?
I don't know that, but it seems like maybe they're, if I had to guess, if I had to be the mastermind here, I would think they're trying to get Joe Biden to drop out.
Yeah.
I don't know that they care, you know, at this point, who exactly wins. I think they probably hoped that he would do well, because I think they probably thought he was more electable than anyone else. But he's performing so badly that I think they'd like to see him get out. And so they, you know, remember how bad the polls were before 2016, and how wrong and off they were. So polls are regularly used to create an impression, to create momentum, or to stunt momentum. And so that's what I think. I think this is a poll done for that, for other purposes, to create some sort of an image. But the other caution that I have for all of us is, I don't think... I think we have to be very careful about thinking that conservatives might prevail because of all the things we see in the news, and part of our hopefulness that surely common sense will apply, and that all of these horrendous acts of anarchy in the law at the top and with police and all of that will play out in the polls to the advantage of people who want law and order and the honoring the Constitution. I think we need to be careful that we are not caught by surprise by other polls.
All right, one other story we wanted to ask you about. By the way, Ray's on with us, Sandy.
Hello,
hi, Sandy.
Ray.
Hey.
And that is, did you see where President Obama and Michelle, former First Lady, they made a bid on a $15 million home in Martha's Vineyard? Did you see this?
I did. Yes, I did.
The 7,000 square foot house comes with 29 acres and would likely be a summer home for the Obamas. Anyway, and it's right near the it's a oceanfront, right?
Martha's Vineyard. Yeah.
Right. And I guess, Sandy, I'm asking you about this because President Obama, you know, is very much concerned that global warming is going to overtake us all in the next I hear you snickering. in the next, that was a giveaway on what how you're going to answer this. Sorry. But I'm asking serious questions here. And that is, are you not buying into property that's going to be devalued because it's a foot or two underwater in about 5 years because of melting Arctic?
Well, I guess it's just, it illustrates in bold colors the hypocrisy of the left. So he's been pushing global warming, climate change, you know, in spades, and then he buys a property, which actually specifically is reported that it will be underwater by 2100. That's part of the model scenario. So obviously, well, I guess he won't be alive then, so maybe he's not worried.
Maybe that'll be the end thing now. Maybe then on HGTV we'll be seeing, you know, a lot of homes.
Homes underwater.
Yeah, having
and the way
boats
they used
going
to
down the hallway, you know, like Venice.
Underwater bargains.
Yeah.
I don't like to judge people on the size of their homes because I really don't care how big a person's home is. But let me tell you, if you got two people and you got a 7,000-square-foot home, that's a lot of heating and cooling. Again, increases your carbon footprint, right? Right.
You're onto something here.
That you don't even need, right? I could get by with 1,000-square-foot, and I have before. And you know, it's kind of cramped. A 7,000-square-foot home, now that's not enormous. But still, it just strikes at the hypocrisy of the environmentalist left. Just like when they had their big international powwow over in Italy somewhere a month ago. Remember that? 3 weeks ago. And all these celebrities and all these self-important people and billionaires, they come in from around the world to hear Prince Harry talk on global warming, you know, and climate change. And guess what? They all came in on their, like, 40 private jets.
More than 100, actually.
Oh, yeah. More than 100 private jets. I'm curious. And all these huge yachts, you know, have more of a carbon footprint than, you know, the rest of us combined.
And we're supposed to ride our bike to work.
To talk about how we can get the little people to cooperate,
yeah,
you know, on the global warming front. Anyway, go ahead, Sandy.
Well, I just was going to say the other hypocrisy on this is, you might recall that Barack Obama was very poor when he entered the White House. He and his wife had to borrow money from Tony Rezko to buy their first home in Chicago. It was a big scandal, actually. Tony Rezko is still in prison. And remember he lectured us on, you didn't build that? He told business owners, you didn't build that.
Right.
He lectured against the wealthy and the rich and the unfairness of it all.
Yeah.
And now he just bought this, $15 million, or he's trying to buy a $15 million home. He's made millions of dollars. That's just a drop in the bucket compared to what he and Michelle have made since they left. And I want to add to that, you know, Bernie Sanders is a multimillionaire based on his
work. As is Elizabeth Warren.
He's got three homes. Yeah. As is Elizabeth Warren. I was just reading a really interesting article in the New York Times this morning about a guy who left after he was a military person. I can't remember the branch during World War II. And at the end of the war, he went to China because he was a communist. This is an American GI soldier of some sort. He went to China to work with Mao because he believed in communism. And he worked over there for decades. He ended up spending time in prison because Mao's wife got mad at him. But he hated capitalism. And then suddenly, in 1998, he comes back to the United States. And guess what? He becomes a multimillionaire. He's working with all the tech companies, with Dell, with Intel, with, I wish I could drop more names, but companies like that, and help them explore and exploit the Chinese market, and he became a multimillionaire. And he just died. So it's just amazing, the hypocrisy. Everyone wants, they want everyone to be equal but them.
Yeah, it's once you get to be, I've never been one, a multimillionaire, you don't want to go back to the little people, huh? You don't want to, the poor life and the average life. It's better, you know, Michelle and Barack Obama they're traveling the world, you know, on yachts with George Clooney and David Geffen and all these people. Everybody loves them, so they're killing it. Oh, they got a Netflix deal. I mean, they're entrepreneurs. They are, huh?
They've got a Netflix deal?
Oh, yeah.
Remember, yeah. Tim, they did not build it.
That's right.
They they've changed their tune on
you
that.
You didn't build that. What?
They've changed. I think they're changing their tune on that.
They deserve it, I believe.
That's right.
Exactly.
Anyway. All right. Like thank you. Thank you, Sandy.
Oh, you're welcome, Tim. Great to talk to you guys. Okay. Thanks. Bye.
It's Sandy Rios. The Obamas, they got their Netflix deal.
So what are they going to do for Netflix? I guess I hadn't heard about this. Are they doing? They going to be on a show or
they're creating a show?
Wow. Okay.
Now I'm sure it's just their name being used.
But still,
they don't know anything about filmmaking. That's just. But still, yeah, $65 million joint book deal.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. So, wow. and no telling how many trees will have to die to print that book.
Yeah.
So
65 million.
So they're living the high life. No wonder Michelle says I have no interest in being president.
That's right. Why should
it's a step down?
Right. Yeah, why step down?
All right. We'll see what happens here, but it's hypocrisy. There's hypocrisy everywhere in politics, right, left, in between. But the left on global warming is laugh out loud hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. When they're lecturing. Prince Harry, what's his wife's name? Meghan?
Markle,
the American, yeah. She's they're getting criticized in Britain now. I read Daily Mail. This is how I know these things. You got to keep up with the Brits,
right.
Anyway. They are getting criticized in Britain because they've been taking these private jets on these vacation junkets, okay, that's cost an enormous amount of money and also leaves a large carbon footprint. And they're supposed to be, he's over there speaking to these world celebrities about what to do about global warming, and they're going on four private vacations in a month. Well, maybe not that many, but on these private jets. Mm-hmm. And so, I never will forget the story about Barbara Streisand, and she was a proponent of mass transit, okay, for everybody, right?
Right.
Again, for the poor and ugly people out here, all of us out here. So we're the beautiful people and the rich people. Barbara Streisand, she was preaching about mass transit and the benefits of mass transit for everybody. And it was reported that she was taking her RV across town for her hair appointment in Hollywood. I never will forget reading about that. Yeah, I can't verify that. That's 20 years ago, but that's typical limousine.
Sure, it's true.
That's typical limousine liberalism, everything that they have to say for us to do. I don't believe 90% of these folks, it's a call celeb thing. It's virtue signaling. It's look how I care about the planet when they really don't. They just want to be applauded by the other beautiful people to say, you care. You care, and that means a lot. You know what I'm saying? So when they really don't, because their actions speak louder than their words. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Eric Horner is in studio with us. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
Eric is a singer, a songwriter. He also is a brother in the Lord, and he's a big supporter of our United States military men and women. And you've been in the music, ministry for how long now?
Almost 18 years.
What'd you do before that?
I was involved in the country music industry. I was a guitar player, backup singer, boot toter, whatever anybody needed.
Can you make a living doing that?
It's tough. You got to wear a lot of hats, and I did. I did wear a lot of hats back then. But
like the Nashville scene,
yeah,
that kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah, there weren't a lot of jobs that you could go to as a backup musician and feed your family. You know, I was right. always blessed to have one of those. But, you know, we had a recording studio and a publishing deal, a lot of things that would create income.
18 years ago, what happened? What made you change over to Christian ministry?
Well, I wrestled with the Lord for a year about it when I felt a call on my life for ministry. And because I did, I wore a lot of hats, and I built all this good income up, and I said, Lord, you want me to walk away from all this? And after a year, I said, okay, I'm going to do it. And he's been so faithful. We've been at this for a long time. And
so by that, you mean you travel the country doing concerts?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be doing one in Tupelo?
Yeah, tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night?
Connect Church, yes. Mm-hmm.
Connect Church at what time?
6:30, I believe.
6:30. And your website is what?
It's just erichorner.com.
H-O-R-N-E-R?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Fred?
Yeah, I'm. Your dedication is to our military people. Do you get to go on military bases? I've always wondered that.
We do. We've been on several through the years. Sometimes doors open, sometimes they close.
Right.
You know, when a new commander comes in, if they don't see the good or what they think is the good in what you do, they shut the door, and it's as if you've never been there. You know, is how it feels. But we've been going to military bases for about 12 years now, and the main thing that we do now is we go and conduct chapel services for soldiers in training. And I tell you, I ain't never had so much fun in my life. It is a blast. Those kids they're on fire for the Lord when they show up at chapel. They're ready. They got an hour away from the drill sergeant, so they are ready to get to worship on. It is a blast.
Now, you got something coming up that you've been spearheading for a number of years called Operation Tank Full of Love,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Tell us what it is, how long it's been going on.
This started 9 years ago. We drive by Fort Campbell very often as we come out of Nashville, headed into Kentucky or headed north.
That's a big base.
Yes,
right?
It is. It is a big. It's a big post. And I'm from Paducah, Kentucky, so I've ministered in probably 80 churches in that area in all our years of ministry. So we go by there a lot, and we always stop. There's a big truck stop there, and we stop and fuel up the coach. And about 9 years ago, I stepped off the coach and I looked across the parking lot, and almost every one of the pumps was a soldier. Mm-hmm. And they were there getting their gas. And I thought, you know, I wish I had the means to go put my card in every one of those pumps and just say, it's on me today. Thank you for serving. And, boy, the Lord just planted a seed right there. And by that night, I knew what to call it, Operation Tank Full of Love. And we weren't quite sure how to start it. So I began to write letters to churches where we'd minister and said, hey, we're thinking about doing this for our soldiers. Who wants to jump in? And we raised about, $8,800 that year, and really thought we had done something. And it's just grown every year, and now we're sitting at $320,000 given away in free gas. And really, the gas is the least of it. We have a team of volunteers, 120 folks that show up from churches all over the region. I say region. Some of them are AFR listeners that drive from across the country. Mm. We've got some AFR listeners that drive faithfully every year from Houston, Texas, just because they heard about it on AFR, and they said, we want to see what that's about. And once you go and you serve the soldiers one time, you come back.
If we have people listening right now who want to be a part of this day, what do they need to do?
Go to tankfulloflove.com, send us a message. We've got a Facebook page, Operation Tankful of Love. Just get word to us. We'll tell you how to get there and what takes place, and we'd love to have – we want to build the team.
Again, what day is this?
September 21st.
Saturday?
Yes, Saturday, September 21st. And we're also looking for some first-time pastors, we have a lot of pastors that are involved in this. First-time church involvement. I mean, you still got time. We're a little less than a month out. But if you'd like information, I'll send you a DVD. Our friends here at AFA helped us put together a DVD to tell the story of what takes place on the ground there at Tankful Love, and I'll send it to you.
If I go and participate, what am I going to be doing? Exactly?
You're liable to be washing windows, pumping gas, praying for soldiers. We always offer to, you know, is there anything we can pray with you about?
Do they know what's going to happen, the soldiers on the base? Do they know that?
You put word out to the local media,
yeah,
newspapers and whatever, but as soon as they start showing up, they start calling each other, and the line never decreases.
What do they say? You're not going to believe this.
Yep. Exactly.
These crazy Christians are paying for our gas down
here. And last year, we've avoided a lot of rainfall, but last year we got plastered. I mean,
really?
We got soaked, and it really bothered me at first, you know. But you know what? It gave us a stronger witness, because every soldier that came through said, why in the world are you folks standing out here in the rain pumping our gas? And it was, no, because God loves you and we love you. Mm. You know, it really opened the door for some good witnessing there.
Amen.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. May God bless your ministry, brother.
Thank you, my friend.
So your ministry website is Eric, ERICHORNER.com. EricHorner.com.
Yes,
and then, for more information on this project, it's called Tank Full of Love.
Mm-hmm. And if folks want to get involved today, they can go to AFR.net.
Yep.
And call the 800 number as well.
AFR.net.
Yep. The number is 877-616-2396.
They call that number. They're calling here, right?
Yes.
And we can answer questions that they might have.
We can. They can make donations, answer questions. I've already had inquiries this morning. How can I do this in my town? I'd love to.
So if somebody wants to make a $25 donation, they call our number.
Call that number or AFR.net. They can do it either way.
What's the number again?
877-616-2396.
God bless you, Eric.
Thank you, Brother Tim.
Brother, thank you. Eric Horner in studio with us. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Ray's with us in Kansas City. We're here in Tupelo today for the show, as we normally are. Walker and Fred with me. Next story, Fred.
There is a instructor slash professor at Kirkwood Community College. That's in Iowa. And he lost his job yesterday, or as the story says, he resigned. And the reason is this guy, his name is Jeff Klintzman. He is a dedicated member, supporter of Antifa. They are the radical leftist group.
Some call them Antifa.
Or Antifa. You may have seen them in action out in Portland, Oregon recently. They usually dress in black and create all kinds of problems. He has no problem with that. He is reported, posted comments. Also, listen to this, folks. He doesn't like evangelical Christians.
You're talking about this professor that was fired? What school?
This is Kirkwood Community College.
So he posted this online, I guess, or talked about it. Now he's, what did he say?
He also reported, posted comments against evangelical Christians and what he called their homophobic bigotry. And he cites war poetry, by Ilya Ehrenberg, encouraging Soviet troops to kill German invaders. Klintzman also wrote in the post, quote, "It's not pretty, and I'm not proud, but seeing what evangelical Christians are doing to this country and its people fills me with rage and a desire to exact revenge," end quote.
So he got, well, he should have got fired for that kind of quote, that kind of comment. And he did?
Well, it's a little bit confusing. They came to an agreement for him to resign.
Yeah, can you have tenure at a university,
at a community college?
I don't think they offer tenure. I doubt it. Right? Go ahead.
But here's the thing. The president of Kirkwood is a woman by the name of Lori Sundberg. Now, listen to what she had to say about this. What her concern was is that this controversy created by this guy was creating too much attention, negative publicity for the school. But here's what she had to say about his comments and what and the things he's involved with. He says that she said, "That's why I want to be very clear with you the reasoning behind this decision. The national attention is potentially disruptive to our mission," she said, "and our decision to remove Mr. Klintzman from the classroom has nothing to do with the substance of his views or his right to express them." In other words, he doesn't like, he hates evangelical Christians. We don't have a problem with that.
Basically sounded like he was for, he's okay with physical attacks.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like wiping us out.
And the president of the community college there?
Yeah.
Saying she agrees with him?
Well, she said, "We don't have a problem with his comments."
We don't condemn those.
The point of view, no.
She's trying to avoid a lawsuit, don't you think? What a mess.
What a mess.
Those are reprehensible comments. Is this story on our Facebook page? Okay, we're going to post this story on our Facebook page. You can offend any group. You can't offend any group in America, but you can Christians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. You can with impunity.
Yeah.
Really. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.